Welcome to the Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Voice of Experience. Hey, Max, how's it going?
It's going, Elke. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Max. I know we have both been really looking forward to this episode because we are joined by another special guest, Ryan Monkman. And Ryan, I know you know Ryan, Max, but for our listeners, Ryan is entering his second year of grad school at the University of Oregon, where he is pursuing his PhD in psychology with a focus on cognitive neuroscience. And although he's in the early stages of his career, he is focused on studying how the brain organizes memory systems. And he's particularly interested in how different aspects of emotion influence the likelihood for a memory to be recalled later. And he's just a good dude, and it's always fun to chat with him. So perfect addition to our podcast. So let's welcome Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan.
Wow, thank you for that awesome introduction. Yeah, very happy to be here. Very excited to talk about some of my work, talk about some of the work that you guys are doing at GMR. And thanks for having me.
Memory making is a shared passion between the three of us. And at GMR, our work is cemented in embedding a brand into an experience to generate an autobiographical memory. And those are those really, really sticky ones, or as we refer to it, those bright bulbs on your personal string of lights. So let's chop it up a little bit, shall we?
Let's go.
Cool. All right, Ryan, I'm going to send the first question your way. What is it about memory science that made you want to pursue this as your life's work?
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about my journey so far. So when I was an undergraduate in college, I was doing a psychology degree, and I really thought I wanted to be a therapist. And I thought, like, that is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to go study clinical psychology and be a therapist. And as part of the curriculum for that degree, I was required to take a few neuroscience classes. And when I was taking those classes, I had a really amazing professor who was just so passionate about neuroscience and just got me, like, really excited about the topic. And from there, I started getting way more interested in the neuros part of psychology rather than the kind of, like, psychotherapy part. And from there as well, I joined a research lab that was actually focused on memory and aging. So how do our memory systems perform as we age throughout the lifespan? And from there, I also started thinking about my own memories and even my own emotions that were attached to those memories. And from those experiences, I fell in love with the kind of process of doing research. It's a difficult one, and it's a lot of ups and downs, but I find it really fun. And I landed a really nice research assistant position after I graduated my undergraduate degree, and then landed here at the University of Oregon in grad school.
I love that. You said two things that really resonate with me, therapy and aging. But anyway, that's probably for a different episode, right, Max?
It's funny because, like, I gravitated to the therapist part. Now, I, you know, just as an aside, and Ryan, I know you just a little bit, but the way that you just described your trajectory, I could really tell that you kind of, like, not only do you want to know more, but you really are invested in this whole idea of memory making from so many different ways. It's cool hearing you talk about it.
It's super cool.
I'll also just reiterate again that I'm very early in my stage of in my career. So, you know, everything that I say today is just, like, kind of opinions that I have. You know, I wouldn't take everything I say as absolutely factual, but thank you. I appreciate that. I really love talking about this stuff.
Hey, if Ryan's on the record, I like to go on the record too, then everything that I say is fully opinion too.
Listen, we're just coming from our own personal experiences and having great discussions, and that's what this is about, and it's all good. So appreciate that. But Max, kind of just drafting off of what Ryan just described, from a marketing perspective, why do you think memory making is the reason humans invest in experiences?
You know, on the surface level, I think it's marketers, you know, talk about badging. They talk about you know, individuals being content makers or micro content makers. You know, when I go on LinkedIn, every individual that I see from a LinkedIn profile perspective is marketing themselves, right? So in a way, the ability to create more and more experiences for an individual in a, you know, hyper-capitalistic society like ours is a form of micro-marketing, right? So there's the drive for participation, shared experiences, things out there in IRL and URL that could become little stories or tidbits of self-badging or self-marketing. But like, I think deeper than that, right, is I think the more memory, the more self, if you will, right? Like the way that we, at least I do, and this is the opinion of one, can self-actualize my own self is through experiences, not through theoretics, right? Or deep, deep introspection. I'm not Marcel Proust, but I think the way that we can create more of our own identity and more of our own self is through the process of making memories of ourselves, you know, as well. So I think it's deeper than just self-badging.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. You know, Ryan, one of the things that you and I have talked about, and I find this to be so intriguing, is the idea of motivated memory. So if you don't mind, can you just like talk a little bit about what is motivated memory and how does it differ from regular memory formation?
Absolutely. And I really loved what Max was saying about kind of this self-actualization and how that works into memory as well. And I think this kind of transitions really nice into this idea of motivated memory, which is the kind of idea that memory formation and memory recall is directed by like an individual's goals. And so these goals could be influenced by like a number of different things. Some examples could be like someone's emotional state. Someone could be in a like reward seeking behavior, or you could be in like an avoidance behavior, like trying to avoid an adverse stimuli or an adverse experience. And all these things can influence how we are tagging certain information to get stored into our long-term memory systems later. Whereas this kind of more passive or like, I guess, traditional type of memory is like an incidental memory formation where maybe we don't have those specific goals directly in mind. Maybe they're under the hood, kind of more in the subconscious, but they could still be kind of influencing us. But kind of like, as Max was saying, these, I think, kind of fit well into the kind of experiences that we have and how those get remembered is this kind of under the hood motivation of why certain things stick in memory. Some like very early memory theorists would kind of reason that we form these memories and we recall them later from a kind of survival perspective. So this information is going to help me survive longer. It's a very kind of Darwinist evolutionary type perspective, but I think it still is an important thing to talk about that even from like a self-actualization point of view, you know, having these events or experiences store in memory for a certain reason could be for a survival perspective, for a goal-seeking directive, for avoiding adverse stimuli. It kind of all falls into this idea of motivated or kind of subconsciously motivated memory.
So you, Ryan, you talked earlier when you were sort of describing why you are passionate about this field, you know, the understanding or deep understanding of emotions and emotional regulation. And you're kind of talking about it when you're describing motivated memory. Can you elaborate a little bit around emotion regulation and like reappraisal and how that affects memory?
Absolutely. So emotion regulation is the idea that we're kind of fundamentally changing the experience of an emotion that we're having. And my kind of realm or the thing that I get really jazzed about is how emotion and memory interact. It's LK very nicely stated at the beginning. And so reappraisal is a type of emotion regulation where you reevaluate, you reframe, you add a new perspective to an emotional experience that fundamentally changes that emotional experience. So like an example of this could be that, you know, maybe I was up for a job promotion and I didn't end up getting it. And so now that I have this memory of the feeling of being disappointed that I didn't get this job promotion or didn't get a raise. But I could employ this emotion regulation technique of reappraisal. And when I remember that feeling of disappointment, I could reframe it to say, okay, yeah, I was disappointed I didn't get that promotion, but that kind of helps me realize that this is a area that I can grow, where I can develop XYZ skills to hopefully help me get that promotion the next time. And now, all of a sudden, this feeling of disappointment is accompanied by this reappraisal process. And now when you recall that memory of not getting that promotion, you're also recalling that moment that you reappraised that. And now you suddenly turn a like seemingly negative memory and feeling to start trending towards being a bit more of a positive one.
That's so fascinating. As I'm listening to you speak, I guess Max wondering, like, do you see any sort of connection to marketing experiences, this idea of like reappraisal and converting a feeling about something into an opportunity or a new feeling? Is there anything that like comes up for you?
Oh, that, first of all, I think motivated memory is the new acronym for marketing and advertising, or the, you know, the new definition. I mean, it's, I think the majority of what we do is trying to understand and work with the just the general concept of motivated memory. To answer like even deeper, I think some of the best campaigns, if we want to get like, you know, super granular from the conceptual into what's out there right now, is a lot of it is, and the ones that get noticed are, a lot of them are in that reappraisal category, like that tension of, well, I always considered this brand to be this and have these memories of it, but then, wow, they just did that, right? Like, I know this is super topical. We're recording on Wednesday, but, you know, just recently, Gwyneth Paltrow starred in a long form ad for that company, Astronomer, whose CEO was caught on the kiss cam with Coldplay, right? And that's not even a reappraisal. That's just pure awareness. But like that kind of, you know, marketing or advertising approach to, wow, no one knew us before, there's a moment in time where we can capitalize on solidifying like a memory for our company by doing this kind of creative articulation of it, you know, just totally drives awareness, totally drives appraisal, and then reappraisal for the company, you know, who is like up until a week ago was just another name, you know, caught up in a kind of like lascivious little, you know, meme. And now with some creativity applied to that tension that, hey, we need people to think about us differently, the creative solve was to hire Gwyneth Paltrow in order to deliver that message. I find that reappraisal tension is very, very rich for creativity.
That's such a great example and so topical. Love your connection there.
Love that example.
Really cool. Ryan, one of the other aspects of emotion, which I also think is incredibly fascinating, is this idea of emotional arousal and how that can enhance memory. And I think you had mentioned once like this haunted house study. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So within kind of the emotion research realm, there's this idea that emotions can kind of exist on a spectrum of intensity, right? So you could experience happiness at like a lower level. So like maybe you're kind of happy, or you can experience like great happiness, like super intense feeling of happiness. Or maybe the other example I give for this on the negative side of the spectrum would be like, maybe you're startled versus like you're super surprised. And, you know, those are kind of different levels of arousal. And so a key kind of concept in memory making is this arousal idea. So really high intense and like arousing information oftentimes gets prioritized in being stored in memory. And so there's this idea that is called tagging, where our memory systems, as we experience things, kind of do this process where it tags certain information that oftentimes is that really high arousing information, and kind of tells our memory system like, hey, this was really important. It was really arousing. Let's store it in our long-term memory. We might need that later. And so the kind of transitioning into this haunted house study, my advisor in one of the labs that I'm in before I joined their lab had this awesome study that I remember kind of reading about where they would have participants go through a haunted house, like maze, you know, a classic kind of haunted house, while wearing a heart rate monitor. And as they were going through the haunted house, at certain points where they would get jump scared or something would be really creepy, the idea would be that the more like arousing that experience in that particular part of the haunted house would be, the more likely their heart rate would spike. And so the idea would be that around those times when your heart rate was spiking really high, those would be the instances where possibly you would remember that information later. And so the idea would be you would have them go through the haunted house, measure their heart rate, and then ask them what they remembered later on. And someone in my lab is actually still kind of analyzing some data from experiment, not exactly that one, but something very similar. So yeah, we still have a lot of work kind of around that idea, but that's just kind of an example of how you could kind of integrate an arousal question into these kind of like real life scenarios.
Immediately, Max, I think about, you know, what are we doing in the experience space to take advantage of this idea of emotional arousal? And I know we've had over the years a couple of like great kind of case studies around, if you remember, like the American Horror Story work, and like what are you thinking about when you hear about emotional arousal?
Oh, I just I hear the you know the teller ring for sports marketing, sports sponsorship, athlete endorsements, the ability, or in not just in sports, but in entertainment, but in also like high arousal entertainment. I start thinking about all the Marvel movies, all those franchise movies where the entire purpose is arouse first, tell a story second. And all the genres of film that, you know, if you look at the top grossing movies, if it isn't the franchise ones that have that kind of like both nostalgia and a loyal fan base, most of the movies that you see in the theaters are horror movies. And so this, I feel like there's an arms race for arousal in our culture from like, and that makes the kind of engineering of experiences, I wouldn't say more challenging, but just more rich, more interesting, more ambitious. And so I do think that like as a culture and where we find marketing messages or a receptive audience to commercial messages, whether it's in entertainment or sports, it is gravitating to, let's just call them high arousal moments.
Yeah. I mean, it feels a bit like still a missed opportunity for me when we think about how we're designing brand experiences, but I get what you're saying around how primed we are in like sports culture because of fandom and like these moments of really supercharged arousal. But when it comes to actually like creating that moment for a brand, I think there's work still to do there. I don't know that we're really thinking about it in that way, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe you have a different opinion about that.
No, to me, I think the greater point, as I think about everywhere else where, you know, this is funny, but like B2B like doesn't have a lot of arousal, right? When you go to like trade shows,
Zero.
Even to a certain extent, like, you know, business travel, car rental, like there are so many categories of consumer experience, not just marketing experience, but consumer experience that, you know, need to acknowledge like the way that, you know, customers tend to make memories, you know, and tend to reappraise the memories of brands and brand experiences, that there's an element of arousal that needs to occur. It's not just an offer or a new CTA or whatnot. So I think that it just elevates the game for everyone to start thinking this way from experience design. And I, you know, there's so much white space to start thinking about how do we create better, more sticky memories, more brighter bulbs through the lens of things that arouse, right? Like through the lens of dopamine.
Yeah.
And not just through the lens of messaging.
I mean, put that on a t-shirt. I think that That's a little mic drop for me. Completely agree. So Ryan, what emerging research in memory science do you think will have the biggest impact on marketing in the next 5 to 10 years? Anything on your radar?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on my radar with that. I think just improved neuroimaging techniques are, I think there's going to be a really big boom in that within the next like 5, 10 years. fMRI, which is primarily what I use or what I'm learning to use, is it was like this hot new thing when it first kind of hit the research world. And now it's been around for like 20-ish plus years. And people are kind of thinking, okay, like, how can we improve this? Same thing with like EEG techniques. Yeah, I think there's a lot of areas to improve within neuroimaging in itself. And I think that the field is kind of starting to recognize, like, we might be having the technology soon to improve these neuroimaging, these ways to collect brain data. Another one that's kind of, it may not be like the most flashy one, but I think is really important, is just improved statistical modeling of the brain. The brain is like such a super complicated computer, is like the easiest way I can describe it right now. And so like how to figure out how to model that in a way that is accurate, but also like digestible, I think is also going to be a huge thing, at least in the psychology field going forward. And I think recently within the past few years alone, we've started to see a lot more people step up their like stats game. And then another one I have is sleep. Sleep is like huge in the involvement of consolidating these memories. There's a consolidation process that happens when we sleep. This is why sleep is like such an important thing for just how we function, you know? And I think there's a lot to be learned about sleep and how memory interacts. I think there's even more to be learned about how sleep and dreams, like dreaming, we know nearly nothing about like why we do it. What purpose does it have? There's some theory that maybe it is influencing, or maybe it's grabbing information from our long-term memory systems. But I think as the technology improves, that will be a huge wide open area of research that will be like kind of ripe for the picking, is this kind of sleep memory dream research. And the last one that I kind of had written down that I think maybe is obvious, but I would say artificial intelligence and machine learning, especially, we've been seeing a lot more influence of AI just in like everyday life, I think. But in my field, at least, AI has begin to be used as like a tool to help us with our research. And there's these models where you can kind of do a ton of simulations of certain situations, and that can help you get more data. And I think all of these things can help us improve how we understand our memory systems. And I think that can also improve how we inform what strategies marketing and branding uses. Kind of like, if we can understand how the brain works and how memories work, we can understand what experience brands could provide to best serve a positive brand to consumer relationship and interaction.
Yeah, I mean, you are now kind of speaking Max's language when you're making references to some of the technology that's now available to help us better understand and influence how we're designing experiences and marketing campaigns. So I guess I'll ask both of you this question, but Max, I'm going to start with you on this one. Do you think it's possible to overdo it when it comes to understanding how memories are made? You know, when it comes to like brand marketing and experience marketing?
The opinion of one is absolutely not. And, you know, for the record, I'm also fascinated by sleep. Not just for the dream element, but it's really cool to hear. Just think about the spectrum of knowledge between dreams and sleeping and AI. Right. And mapping the brain, the spectrum is, it's just so wide and deep for both insight generation and just an understanding of human behavior. Ultimately, you know, I think we started the conversation with with therapy, right? And understanding and having that kind of like, I don't know, an aperture of both science, empathy, art, creativity all coming to bear. Like, I think the sky's the limit in how we approach the kinds of experiences we want to create for humans. Because the last thing we want to do is create nonsense for humans, right? Is like what we really want to create is meaning. And like what we started with, like the notion of memory as a basis of a good life. And the more we can understand to deliver that, and if a brand wants to underwrite it, amen. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is create the brightest moments for people so that at the end of the journey, you know, it's I don't know, it makes sense to them in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, that was deep, and it was beautiful. And so the sky's the limit. I'm signing on to that belief. Ryan, where do you sit on this?
Yeah, I think I agree. I think Max, you very beautifully described your opinion there. I really loved how you kind of said that like memories are what make us, and like memories are one thing that this is definitely more of a Ryan opinion and not really like a science opinion, but I really do kind of agree with you that I think memories really make us who we are. And those experiences that we gain, as you're kind of saying, if we can somehow get brands to help facilitate those like great experiences that can influence somebody's likelihood to remember that as a positive experience, that could have like really, really important downstream effects on the quality of that person's life. If they have a lot of these memories that can build into their self-worth, into their self-image. I think a lot of our like own analysis of who we are is based a lot on our own memories, and evaluating our own kind of place in the world is really, really based on our memories and the type of memories that we have formed and the type of memories that we recall and remember. I guess the other thing I'll add into this is that I think this is an excellent space for memory and marketing. One thing we didn't quite get to that I do kind of want to inject into here is that our memory systems are, you know, as beautiful as they can be, they are very malleable. And I think there's always a risk of exploiting a false memory creation, which can be very harmful, kind of like related to some of the topics we were just talking about. So I think that from a marketing perspective, there needs to be kind of an ethical responsibility to use the informed science, not in a like malicious way, to effectively like implant a false memory to increase the likelihood this person will interact with my brand. But instead, it should be from a perspective like Max and Elke, you were both describing, of influencing these consumers to have positive experiences with these brands to make kind of better life memories, not just memories with the brand to consumer themselves, but memories that will hopefully like last and build into who this person is.
That is lovely. And that is the goal, and beautifully stated. I think this conversation around the intersection of memory science and brand experience just further kind of proves why we are so focused on the significance of a brand embedded memory. And Ryan, hearing you talk about these concepts like motivated memory and emotion regulation, it's just amazing. I mean, science, you guys, science is just so cool. It is. It's amazing.
We like science.
We love
science.
Science
is awesome.
We love science. Yes,
science,
and Max,
is the best.
It's the best. And Max, I always appreciate you being able to bridge back to marketing strategy and how brands can and should design experiences that are not only memorable, but also really emotionally resonant. So for me, the takeaway is understanding the power of using memory to shape consumer behavior through the magic of experiences. There's a lot more we can and probably will talk about in a future episode. But Ryan, I just want to say from both Max and myself, thank you so, so much for joining us today. It was so enlightening. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was such a fun conversation. And I really appreciate both Max and Elke, your perspectives from a marketing perspective, because most of the time my perspectives are science-based. So a lot of the times I think scientists can get so honed in on like the science world and not really see how it could affect the other areas or non-scientific areas. So this was like such a fun conversation. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good stuff, friends. All right, Max. Till next time.
Till next time.
Bye.
Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.